It is Sunday, July 29, 2018, at Turnueva in Burlington, Washington. Pastor Mike Neely brings us a message titled, Don't Be Unaware of the Devil's Schemes, 1 Peter 5:8-9, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 11, and Ephesians 6, verse 12.
All right, so the stuff I want to share about this week is really current for me, just in terms of how sneaky the devil is. So I want to start by looking at 1 Peter chapter 5. It's interesting that that song said that it talked about God is the Lion of Judah, because 1 Peter also says that the devil is a lion. Verse 8 and 9. Be sober-minded and be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. All right, so be sober-minded, be watchful. Our other verses up here, I won't have you chase it down, but 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 says, let's not be unaware of the devil's schemes. Let us not be unaware of the devil's schemes. And then Ephesians 6, 12 is one that I think many of us are familiar with. It, Paul says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. So around here at Turnueva, I'd like to think that we are not unaware of the devil's schemes. We're certainly aware that we live in a spiritual reality that we don't see, a spiritual reality that impacts our lives, that impacts our emotions, that affects us. It includes a sense of being attacked, a sense of spiritual warfare. I'd like to think that we've even found the right balance between believing that the enemy exists, but we're not afraid. C.S. Lewis, who is a great writer in the 20th century, said this. He said, there are two equal and opposite errors into which our race can fall about devils. One is to disbelieve in their existence, and the other is to believe and to feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them. So on one end of the spectrum, we don't even believe that the devil exists, and on the other end, we're like so fascinated that that's all we want to talk about and think about, and we think there's a demon under every rock. And I'd like to think that we've struck the balance there, and that we're, as Paul said, we're not unaware of the devil's schemes. I'd like to think that until I realize that I'm not that aware, and it sneaks up on me. So I want to share my recent experience with you. The first couple weeks of this month, I was able to take some time off. I went into it feeling really deeply weary, like it felt like my bones ached. I was just so tired. The Tuesday before I went to the prayer rooms, which meets over here every Tuesday night and every other Saturday. And one of the people who was praying for me said, I believe you're under spiritual attack. And when she said it, I thought, oh yeah, that's probably what it is. It's spiritual attack. Like I've been around this enough that you'd think I would go to that when I'm in that place, but I just don't. I didn't even think about it, almost like I was blinded to it. And then they prayed for me, and I felt vaguely better. And then when I returned from my time away, I felt like physically I was rested, but like emotionally and even spiritually, I felt flat. Anybody ever feel that way? You feel just completely flat. I felt uninspired, I felt unmotivated, I felt like I had no like mental or emotional energy to put into my work here at Tierra Nueva or any of my relationships. And it was on a Tuesday that I was really feeling this, and I knew that that night we were going to have our monthly prayer time here at the building. And I thought, I don't even know how to pray. I've got nothing to bring to prayer tonight. I feel so disconnected from God. I feel so flat. And so I just said, Jesus, help me. Lead me. I need you. And after praying that, I just opened up. I do a daily reading of different passages from the Bible. And the first reading of that day was from Psalm 42. And the bottom third of the psalm says this: Why must I walk about mournfully because the enemy oppresses me? As with a deadly wound in my body, my adversary taunts me, while they say to me continually, Where is your God? Why must I walk about mournfully because the enemy oppresses me? Once again, that wasn't even on my radar of thinking why I'm feeling the way I'm feeling. And I thought, the enemy oppressing me. Is that what's going on? And so I took my dog for a walk. And while I was walking, I prayed a simple prayer that I'll share with you in a few minutes. It's a cleansing prayer that breaks off curses and cancels demonic assignments. And within minutes, I felt better. And I've felt better since then. But I'm also praying that prayer more regularly. Paul warns us, don't be unaware of the devil's schemes. Peter tells us in the first Peter passage, be vigilant. Why do we need to be vigilant? Because our adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So if you think of a roaring lion prowling around looking for prey, who does a lion prey on? The weak? Anybody else? The sick? The old? The young? The uneducated? Yeah, lions, they're like that, yeah. Yeah, ones who are already bleeding, ones who are wounded, yeah. And I think there's probably some dumb animals out there, right? So they're just unaware. Like yeah, the lost. There's a lost animal. It's wandered away from the herd. So that often happens, that when you get an isolated animal, that's also where the lion attacks. So Paul says, don't be unaware of the schemes, the plans, the designs of the devil. So what are they? Anybody have ideas of what the schemes of the devil are? To keep you doubting? Okay. To separate us from God? Kill, steal, and destroy. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. The number one goal of the enemy is to keep us separate from God. He doesn't want us to enter into the life that God has for us. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, it says, "The God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they can't see the light of the gospel in the face of Jesus." So that's the primary goal of the enemy with regard to us, is that he would blind us to the good news of Jesus, that we would enter into life, that we would enter into forgiveness, that we would enter into hope, that we would enter into peace, that we would enter into joy, all the things that God has for us, the enemy wants to keep us cut off from. But most of us here, and I can't speak for everybody because I don't know everybody, most of us here have said at some point, Jesus, come in and make your home in me. So Jesus is Savior, Jesus is Lord. And so now we have access to all of those things: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All the fruit of the Spirit is ours. Every blessing in the heavenly place, in the heavenly places, is ours. Every promise that God made for us is yes in Christ Jesus. All of these things are accessible to us, and how often are we actually walking in it and living in it? So since the enemy couldn't keep us from stepping into life with God through Jesus, he wants to keep us cut off from experiencing life. He wants to keep us cut off from knowing and believing and even an awareness that God is good, that God is for us. I love the songs that Lucy picked for us tonight because it was all about God for us, God for us. And the enemy wants to think that God's mad at us still. And so even that psalm, you know, where is your God? Did God really say? You know, God's actually really disappointed in you. That's what the enemy wants you to say. And I lived that way for years. I've told that to you guys so many times, you're probably tired of hearing it. But I believe that God was as disappointed in me as I was in myself. And part of that is my own shame talking, my own sense of failure. But then part of it is the enemy going, yeah, that's right. That's right. I'm going to repeat that. I'm going to put that tape on repeat. So it just plays over and over again in your head. So the enemy wants to keep us cut off from awareness and experience of God's goodness and blessing. The enemy wants us to doubt God's love for us and for other people and God's power. He wants to limit our faith, sabotage our freedom. The enemy also wants to keep us ignorant of our authority over him. Do you know how much authority the enemy has? As much as you give him. So we have, in Christ, we have been raised with Jesus and seated with him at the right hand of the Father, which is the place of authority. So right now, even though our backsides are sitting in these wonderfully comfortable chairs, in our spirit, we are actually seated in Christ at the right hand of the Father. So everything that's under Jesus' feet, which means that Jesus is at the pinnacle of authority, that stuff should come under our feet. But too often, it gets flipped around. So we get a passage like Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 and 27, where Paul says, in your anger, do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Don't give the devil a foothold. Right? So if the devil has a foothold on you, where is the devil in relationship to you? He's standing on you. But according to what we have in Jesus, we should be standing on him. So it's really sly. Like it doesn't happen just like this. It doesn't just go, Robin, here, boom, and just throw all these lies at you that you're like, well, that's a lie. Why would I even believe that? Right? Or this struggle or this attack. The devil is sneaky. He's so sneaky. Have you ever heard the story about how you boil a frog? And it's serious. Like, if you were to get boiling water, so nice and hot, bubbles are coming up, and throw a frog in there, what's it going to do? It's going to jump right out. It's going to be like, heck no. I'm not going to stay in the water. But because a frog doesn't have any internal, because it's a reptile, or amphibian, doesn't have any internal temperature gauge, if you put it in room temperature water and slowly turn up the temperature, it's just going to sit there. And its body is going to adjust and adjust and adjust until it's actually at boiling and it dies. That's how you boil a frog. And that's how the devil boils us. He doesn't just turn everything up and blow everything up. He's like, all right, here's a little lie, Midge. And it's so close to the lie you've already been telling yourself that your parents told you, or that you were telling yourself, you know, survival lies, like this is how I make sense of my reality, that, oh, wow, that feels really true. Maybe that really is true. Maybe I'm always going to be rejected because Gene rejected me. Well, actually, Gene wasn't even paying attention to me. Like, but I gave an interpretation to something that didn't even happen. Like, that's what happens. These little things come in, and they slowly ratchet up until suddenly we're in this place of bondage. We're in this place of fear. We're in this place where, like, our anxiety has become just fear out of control, or our discouragement has become hopelessness. Right? There's this whole, it just starts off small, and he just keeps adding one grain at a time until we're just buried under this mountain of sand, this mountain of dirt. The devil is really, really subtle that way. And then there, so that's I think, part of the scheme of the enemy is it's, he's really slow, he's really methodical. And then there's times that I think part of being aware of the schemes of the enemy is is this thing here. It's called a, maybe you've heard of it. It's an acronym called HALT, H-A-L-T. What does that mean? Hungry, angry, lonely, tired. So those are places, like the enemy didn't make me hungry or angry or lonely or tired. Those are sort of realities that we live in, right? So I didn't eat, so I'm hungry. Maybe I have an anger problem, but maybe there's things that are really, like sometimes there's things to be angry about. And sometimes I feel isolated, so I feel lonely. And I know for myself that when I'm tired, that's a real place of vulnerability for me. And that's a place where lies come in, where temptation comes in, all these different things come in. So the enemy didn't make me hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, but I need to recognize, if I'm going to be aware of the schemes of the enemy, I need to recognize that these are places of vulnerability for me. These are places of vulnerability. Or I'm sure you could actually add to the list. You could put horny, you could put depressed, I'm serious. Like the hungry, angry, lonely, tired is just the beginning of the list. I don't know what it would say if we added all the other letters. But recognizing the place of vulnerability, because that's the place where the enemy is going to come in. So these are all parts of the schemes of the devil. And Paul says, don't be unaware of them. In fact, the passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, had to do with unforgiveness in the church. That there was an issue where Paul had actually disciplined somebody in the church, and there was a lot of division going on in the church of Corinth. And so Paul says, forgive that person, because we don't want to be unaware of the schemes of the devil. So unforgiveness, so it starts with we were wronged, and being wronged is a real thing. We don't want to pretend like I didn't get wronged, but we need to move from that place so it doesn't become bitterness in us, it doesn't become resentment in us, and it doesn't become unforgiveness in us. Because the longer we hold on to things, just like the passage in Ephesians 4, anger, if he says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. He says, in your anger, don't sin. He doesn't say, don't be angry. Just says, in your anger, don't sin. And in the same way, I think you would say, in your being wronged, don't sin. Like there's all these different ways that when we hold on to things, suddenly it opens up and becomes a doorway that the enemy can come in and begin to mess with us. So that's all just us, right? That's just stuff in Mike, stuff in Carol, stuff in Harold. You know, that's what you get for sitting like right in my line right here. Stuff in Patty. Stuff in Bob. Okay, that's the end. So that's just all the internal stuff, the way that the schemes of the enemy. But then there's external stuff. Because on top of this internal battle, we also have real flesh and blood enemies who curse us, who set things against us, intentional spiritual attacks. Now, some of these may be simply you've got a family member or a neighbor who is just like speaking, you know, just hard, harsh words over your life that function like curses. That's the mild end of the spectrum. But then you move from that to people who will actually go to a witch doctor and pay the witch doctor to put a curse on people. To actual groups, witches' covens, satanic groups, whose one of their primary goals is actually division and destruction of churches, death of pastors, destruction of Christian marriages. And they are very intentional about accessing spiritual power and aiming it at the churches. We must not be unaware of the devil's schemes. This stuff is going on. How many of you have ever awakened at 3 in the morning with either fear or panic or a sense of being smothered or attacked? So at 3 in the morning, witches, covens, and satanic groups meet between midnight and 3. And at 3, when they end their time, is when they actually send out demonic assignments against people, against churches. And so it's not surprising that it happens like that. The reason why it's 3 in the morning is because satanic groups want to do exactly the opposite of Jesus. So Jesus hung on the cross in the morning, but really it was the darkness covered the earth while he was on the cross from noon until 3 in the afternoon. And so that's why they meet at the opposite hours, the hours of utter darkness. And then they're cursing. And Bob and I were talking about this last week, that it shouldn't be a surprise to us that Bob has this issue going on. The pastor next door died of cancer. Pastor Dave Browning at Christ the King died of a brain tumor. Like, the enemy wants to take out Christian leadership. He wants to take out churches. And I think a lot of times, like I said, the enemy has authority to do that because we've given him authority. We haven't been aware. We haven't been aware. And so Peter says, be vigilant or watchful. I think most of the time we're just ignorant of what's happening. And it takes us a while to catch on if we ever do. Some of the ways that I think that we can be vigilant for our stuff on the inside as well as for the stuff on the outside. Internally, I think it's really important that you have at least one other person in your life that you can go to and you can confess. Because the stuff that we hold on to poisons us, and it becomes the thing that gives the enemy access to us. So we need to have somebody else. It doesn't have to be your pastor. It could be but it needs to be somebody you trust that you can come and you can say, just as an example, Carol, I need to walk in the light with this thing that's been in the dark in me. And I just need to name it out loud in your presence. And I want you to, that's a confession for me. So I want you to proclaim forgiveness over me. And then just wash me clean with the blood of Jesus. So keeping short accounts, regular places of confession, walking in the light with one another. This is part of the reason why we don't do Christianity on our own. We need one another. Another way is, say, Holy Spirit, search me and know me. Show me where there's stuff in me that's giving the enemy access. The Holy Spirit would love to show us that stuff. And as Ramon says, God's conviction isn't to say, you effed up. It's to say, I want to forgive that. God points it out because he wants to forgive it and set us free. And then just on our own, just regular time with Jesus. Really, regular time with Jesus, regular time reading the Bible. If the Bible's confusing to you, then regular time reading the Bible with other people. I think that's the way it was meant to be read in the first place. But that's one of the ways that we renew our minds. I posted on our community page that we gather together with one another in Jesus so that truth speaks louder than life. There's so much coming at us all week long that's trying to say, this is what's true. This is what's true about you. This is what's true about God. This is what's true about the world. And Jesus says, transform yourselves by the renewing of your minds. And we do that as we spend time with him and as we spend time in Scripture. And then Peter also says, don't just be vigilant, resist. I know we got the resist signs for Donald Trump, but Trump is small potatoes, people. Trump is small potatoes. We got to resist the devil. It says, resist him, standing firm in faith. What are some ways that we can resist? Prayer. Prayer, yeah. Speaking truth. Binding the devil, okay. Reciting scripture, memorizing scripture, yeah. Praise and worship, yeah. So all of that stuff is fantastic. Some of it I had on my list. The first one, and none of this is new. We talk about this all the time. The first one is thanksgiving. We enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. That thanksgiving keeps us rooted in God's goodness. If one of the schemes of the enemy is to actually cut us off from an awareness of God's goodness, then thanksgiving keeps us rooted in God's goodness. And I want to challenge you on your thanksgiving. It's great to thank God for the weather. It's great to thank God for our food, for our housing. Those are all God's blessings for us. And I think the more that we spend time in Scripture, we're going to find a lot more to thank God for. Thank you, God, that you rescued me from the dominion of darkness and transferred me into the kingdom of your beloved Son, in whom I have forgiveness and redemption. Thank you that you've blessed me with every blessing in the spiritual places. Thank you that I am rooted and grounded in your love today. Thank you that you've given me a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, that I can grow in love. Like, just like when we begin to do that stuff, then we're actually proclaiming Scripture, and the devil can't handle that. He can't handle it because he wants the glory. And so when we begin to thank God, it roots us in God's goodness, and the enemy doesn't want us to believe that God's good. Then with worship, we talk about this all the time too. We worship because we want to magnify Jesus. And whenever we're focused on what the enemy's doing, whenever we're focused on what Donald Trump is doing, whenever we're focused on our negativity or the pain or these things, those things get magnified. Anything we focus on gets bigger. And so when we worship, we're magnifying Jesus, because Jesus is bigger than all of that stuff. And then praying with authority. You know, we talk about binding the devil. I would say being really specific, though, about, because sometimes, I got to tell you, I was and can be an idiot. Like, you start to learn about authority, and you think, man, I just got this big Christian baseball bat, and I'm just going to go around and knock some demons on the head. And authority is always submitted. It's never just, oh, I've got authority, and I'm going to go out, and, like, now I got a badge and a gun, and I'm just going to start pointing it at things. Now, Father, show me where to exercise your authority in my own life, here at Tierra Nueva, in the places of my own domain, in my home, and praying really specifically in those places. So to end, I'm going to pray the prayer that I prayed that first day at the beginning of my talk here. And then if you're comfortable with it after I've prayed it, I'm going to lead us through it. So then you can pray it over yourself in your own home. So this is what I prayed. I say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I break off every curse, every hard and harsh word or word curse that's been spoken against me or my family, including curses I've spoken over myself. I send them to the cross where you became a curse for us. And I ask you, Jesus, to attach your heart to all the places where those curses attach to me, and that your blood would flow there and wash me clean from all defilement that came upon me because of those curses. And Father, also in the name of Jesus, I cancel every demonic assignment that's been sent against me or my family or my domain. I decommission them in the name of Jesus, and I send them under the feet of Jesus, not to return to me and not to send others in their place. Now come, Holy Spirit, come and fill me afresh today with all of your love and your power and your life. So it feels like a basic prayer to me, and it's one that now I realize I probably need to pray this once a week. I think I used to pray it every day, and Jesus was like, it's all right, Mike, you don't need to do it that much. Don't be all religious about it. Jesus isn't down with religion, but he gave us authority. So if you're up for that, go ahead and you can do a repeat after me. So Father, in the name of Jesus, I break off every curse that has been spoken against me and my family and my domain, including curses I've spoken over myself. I send them to the cross where you became a curse for me. And I ask you, Jesus, to attach your heart to every place that those curses attach to me. And let your blood flow there and wash me clean of all defilement. And Father, also in the name of Jesus, I cancel every demonic assignment sent against me, my family, or my domain. I decommission them and I send them under the feet of Jesus, not to return to me and not to send others in their place. Now I ask you, Holy Spirit, come and fill me afresh with all your love and your power and your life. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Woohoo. Now, next week, I want to hear some testimonies. All right. I'm gonna post this on our Facebook page. So if you are not on our Faith Community Facebook page, talk to me afterwards so I make sure we get you on there. And let's go ahead and shift into our communion time where we also celebrate the victory of Jesus. So we'll stack the chairs and move them off to the sides.
That was a message from Pastor Mike Neely and Tierna Weva in Burlington, Washington. We worship on Sundays at 4:30 on Fairhaven Avenue across the street from the post office. Family Support Center is open Monday and Wednesday from 11 to 4. We visit jails on Thursdays and Sundays. We read Gospels every morning and Psalms every evening. Find us on Facebook and our website, tierra-nueva.org. Thank you for listening. Have a great week.
You stopped at nothing to prove you were for us, Jesus, my Jesus. It's extravagant.